This wonderful day you give to us, Lord, we thank you for the rain. Certainly we need that, and at this hour we look for you to meet with us now. Thank God to know you live in our heart, but what a joy it is when you move in our presence. We open this precious book. We thank you for preserving for our day, and what we need to know about you, the side of eternity, is found in this precious book. And I pray, Holy Spirit, I'd yield to thee as much as possible, that you could use me as a vessel, that hearts will be blessed here and everywhere else. Someone may listen today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. May you be seated. Take your Bible, if you will, and turn to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. And I'd like to read down for a few verses about, we're going to read verse 21 through 34. While you're finding that, I heard the story, and that all it is a story. Well, there was a Mr. and Mrs. Brown. Had three sons. The first one, they decided they were going to name them different names than just ordinary names that you give individuals. And so when the first one was born, they named him Trouble, because he looked like he'd be fitting pretty good. When the second was born, they named him Mind Your Own Business. And when the third one was born, they named him Shut Your Mouth. That was unusual, sure was. Well, they've got about 5, 6, 7 years old, and one day out in the yard, they were playing hide-and-seek on their block, and the policeman came by, and he saw this fellow looking around in cars and in bushes and around the windows and everywhere else, and he said, "Son, what are you doing?" He said, "We're playing a game." He said, "I don't like a game to me." "What's your name, son?" He said, "Mind your own business." And he said, "Listen, you know who you're talking to?" He said, "Yes, sir." He said, What are you doing?" He said, "Well, I told you I was playing a game." "Oh, are you looking for him? Who are you looking for?" He said, "Yes, sir. I'm looking for Trouble." And the cop thought he was being sassed real fast like. And he said, "You know who you're talking to?" He said, "Yes, sir." He said, "You're a policeman. I understand that." He said, "How do you know that you're looking for Trouble?" He said, "Because I am." And then he said the question to this. He said, "Well, do you understand who I am?" He said, "Yes, sir." And he asked the question after that. He said, "Would you by chance," and I'm about to get all mixed up on her, amen. So you probably laugh at the way I give it to you. But anyhow, and the policeman said, "So you're looking for Trouble. Well, I want you to shut your mouth. You know who you're talking to?" He said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Amazing thing. I'm looking for him too." Amen. I got through that. But I thought maybe the day would be good to have a laugh if you look around. You get later and look at it and you're left at me more so than the joke. Amen. But I've got a message I believe God's going to honor and bless. Look with me, if you will, as we look in Mark chapter. That is Mark chapter 5. Those here last Sunday knows what I'm talking about. Amen. And we're going to read verse 21 through 34. And Scripture said that when Jesus was passed over again by a ship unto the other side, and he said, and much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death, and I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." And of course, in Luke, if you look in Luke 8:42, he said it was his only daughter. Now, he gives the scene where Christ is busy about what he's doing, and Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. What's that now? And he said, a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, had suffered many things of many physicians, had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. And so when she had heard Jesus came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, "If I may touch him, touch his clothes, I'll be whole." And of course, Matthew 20, you see he talks about touches his garment. And or at Matthew 9, verse 20. And he said, "And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she fell in her body that she had was healed of that plague." And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" In other place, "Who touched me?" He said, and his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, says thou who touched me. He looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing that what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And she said, and he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. And he said, while he spake these things, there came the ruler of the synagogue of house certain, which said, he said, thy daughter's dead. Why troublest thou the master? I want to take out of this and look at this woman who touched Jesus Christ. Now, if you look in Mark chapter 5, you see that there, in these verses, 21 through 34, he mentions this. You look at Matthew 9, 18 through 26, he mentions also this story. In Luke 8, verse 41, 48, you look at all three of these places and get a collective view exactly what happened at this particular time. Now, there are three cases given in Mark 5 in this whole chapter, which are absolutely human speaking, hopeless and impossible for a human to have. I mean, this is beyond just medicine and technology at this particular time. In these days, we would help some of these people just to a point. But it comes a point that nothing man has can help them. But aren't you glad that Jesus Christ can come on the scene and change everything? And that's what we're seeing here. There was a demonic man in verses 1 through 20. There was a diseased woman here. We see an issue of blood, verse 21 through 34. There was a girl that died while Jesus was headed towards the home referred to as Jairus' daughter, verse 35 through 43. Now, all three of these cases were considered impossible as far as man is concerned in the Lord's day. They didn't have many things. This woman for 12 years had been trying to be treated by the quacks of the time, and nothing happened to get her better at all. I mean, many times today, there are still impossible cases in our day that where people have such things as this, or if not like this, similar, that takes our life, because we know it's important unto man wants to die. But today, this demonic man, verse 1 through 20, would be signed to a mental institution. This poor woman, in verse 21 through 34, would be signed to a terminal care unit called hospice in our day. And this precious girl would have been carried somewhere and placed on hold to be buried later, that we see in verse 35 through 43. But when Jesus passed by, he was more than enough for this man and this woman and this child. He was more than enough for the man who was demonized. He was more than enough for the woman who had an issue of blood. He was more than enough for the man or for the young girl that eventually died before Jesus got there. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ has not changed. He's the same today as he was in that day. In fact, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. He can speak today in world form as much so as he did when it happened in the beginning. And so Jesus Christ is the answer to all problems. Now, I'm glad I live in a day where we can get a lot of things that help these bodies. But, you know, still it doesn't change that it's appointed a man wants a day to die, wants to die, and after that, to judgment. So we are thankful for what day we live in. Many of us my age and some others here probably wouldn't be alive today if we were living a number of years ago, though there were mavericks who lived to be 100 years old, but they were very few. But in our day, the average of life has spanned back now to at least biblical times, 70 and by reason 80. So here, I understand that what happened then, we are today, it minimizes in our thinking, because some of these we said, well, they would have been helped. But the thing about this, even though they could have been helped, they'd eventually die. Even though Jesus helped these people, they eventually die. But I'm glad that he's letting us see why he was here. He could do those things in turn that could change people's lives. And that gave us assurance that when he talked about eternity, he could also change our lives. Amen. He gives us that which in turn bears witness by the Holy Spirit in our heart that he can change our lives spiritually as much so as he could for physical things in this life. And so Jesus became the psychiatrist to the maniac who was mentally disturbed. He became the great physician for the woman who had the issue of blood. And for the young girl that finally died, he became her great pediatrician at that time. But today, I don't want to look at the maniac or the young girl. I want to pull out of this and let's look at and consider the healing of this woman's disease at the time. You look at the story, and Jesus is on his way to heal the daughter of Jairus at his request. And he's interrupted by this woman who has this issue of blood. who comes and touches him of his garment. Now, this tells me that Jesus wasn't expecting him, though he might have known it, because he knew all things. As far as he was, by the way, he was God in the flesh. There are things, but he could read people's mind and hearts, what they were thinking at times, and answer directly what needed to be, rather than going around a bush and try to decide what was said. I mean, when you heard him say something, you write it down, it would be law. Many times we evaluate things and we get it wrong. We don't see everything, but he sees everything. But at this time for the story, he's on his way to heal Jairus' daughter, and yet in spite of the seriousness of his mission, Jesus takes the time to stop to help this woman. This is what blesses my heart. I don't care what problem you and I have. I don't care how many thousand may have the same problem. He can deal with us by his Spirit individually. It's just like we were the only one. I'm glad that God can isolate everyone else and deal with us individually. 7 billion people on this earth, they can deal, and you've heard me say before, he could deal with each individual by themselves. It's a spirit. Jesus could not do that when he was in a body. He only dealt with those that he was with. But the Holy Spirit of God is not seen physically, but he's spiritually here, and he dwells. Even if you're saved this morning, your body, he lives in you as much as so has been in our midst this morning. And so when I look at and consider her, even while Jesus on his way to furnish the great work of redemption and done to do for humanity on the cross, he took time out to help hurting people. You wonder sometimes, why would people who could see him do what he could do turn against him because of religious leaders in his particular day? On this day, while a large crowd thronged him, there was a timid, dying young woman who was dying for 12 years that reached out and had the thinking as she left wherever she was at to go where she knew Jesus was supposed to be and saw him there. Her only thought was, I don't need to have him know that I'm there, but if I reach out and touch his garment, or at least touch to get hold of his garment, I'll be healed. Folks, I want to tell you something. That took faith. It took faith that she, for 12 years, had tried everything else. And now she came from a good ways when she heard where Christ was going to be at. And now her desire is in that crowd, which she couldn't even get to. She had to fight her way through. She probably, since it was the hem of his garment, was down all close to the ground. Did you know it's hard to move in a crowd? Have you ever been in a real large crowd? Mother, remember years ago, I was at Pastor School Jack Hiles. And I will never forget. When you got there, they had the doors shut before you could go. At a certain time, they opened up. And, of course, by the time it opened up, there was at least 1,000 or more waiting to go in. And I remember one time we got there a little early so we could get in. And by the time the rest got there where we were at, we were packed. You remember that? You couldn't even move your elbows. And if you dropped a glove, don't pick it up. If you did, you'd never get up. No kidding. And when those doors opened, I don't know if my feet even hit the ground for the next 4 or 5 steps. I just went with the crowd. Have you ever been in something like that? Well, I look at this as what Christ had. He had a lot of folks that were there. And they were trying to get to him and throne him. It amazes me that out of, say, hundreds may have been around him, or thousands may have been within his vicinity. It amazes me that he would even know when one touched him more so than the others. Isn't it amazing? I want you to know something. God deals with us as individuals. And what a joy to know we can come to him and he hears our prayer. And so as I look here at this time, they thrown him. There was a timid, young, dying woman who'd been inflicted with this disease for 12 years that reached out and touched Jesus Christ. And when she did, immediately her life was transformed. Now, 3 things I want to give you about her. First of all, I want you to just note how the horror that she endured for 12 years. I can imagine, by the way, she wasn't just floating along, just dealing with it, you know, on the surface. This was a terrible situation. The symptoms she suffered from as an issue of the blood in Mark chapter 5, verse 25, that is, she was hemorrhaging or bleeding from some part of her body, and the word issue means it was a flowing type blood. It wasn't just a little bit of puddling. There was an issue that came when the heart beat in turn that she was losing blood. It's amazing to me that she'd even lived as long as she had. But you know, I know that God knew and Christ knew from the Godhead that she was coming. And I believe whatever they could say, somehow or another, God allowed her to stay alive for this event. I believe probably she would, you may think me off, but I believe she was probably born for this event. Though she had to make the choice herself. By the way, we're born for a lot of things that God would have us do. One thing is for her to represent him as an ambassador. Everyone to save. That's decreed by God. But you'll make a choice to do that, just like you did to get saved, or it won't happen in one's life. And so here she's suffering. She's hemorrhaging. Note her suffering types. She was suffering from physical pain. Why? Due to a great loss of blood, she would have been weak and anemic and had very little energy. Some of you have been, I've been to the hospital, and you'd find that you're losing blood, or you became anemic. And in turn, you found yourself no energy. You didn't feel like doing anything. What did they have to do? Give you blood. Aren't you glad you're not living in George Washington Day? They might have took more out. They used to think that would help them. And they found out later that was the wrong kind of science. And so here she was suffering physical pain due to great loss of blood. Any kind of effort would have worn her out as a weak, pathetic creature. And the word plague here, some people say it's translated whip elsewhere, setting forth that her disease was like a scourge, constantly beating her down day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, for 12 solid years. Sometimes I bet she didn't think she could even go under the circumstances. She suffered under the quack doctors of her day who tried every type of superstitious remedy that could, one after another. She also suffered socially. Her condition left her on a fringe of society, isolated and also desperate. She suffered emotionally for 12 years. And you wonder sometimes, why in the world? Hey, I've seen people so bad off, they wonder why God would even let them live. And yet he did. Sometimes he brought back, sometimes he didn't. I'm sure she wondered why she was still living under these circumstances, as you think he meant like a human would think. She suffered religiously. Under the law, she was considered unclean and could not mingle with people in public, lest the curse that she caused them to be defiled, according to Leviticus chapter 15, verse 19, 25, and 30 through 37. She suffered financially. She said she spent everything she had. Sound like today, didn't it? Government with insurance. I mean, nowadays, it just seemed like one of the biggest bills we have is medical bills, or if it had to do with insurance. But she spent everything that she had during those 12 years. Those quack doctors drained her bank account as they dealt with her all the time. There's no doubt that she had just about given up. She may have been a year or so, or thought about just in it all. But one day she heard about a man called Jesus that was going to pass by within a certain place. And she did everything that she could do to get there, and she was not disappointed. She is a picture of many believers who are laboring under heavy burdens of life in this life. Can you remember that before you were saved? Can you remember then the day that you trust Christ as Savior? Now all of a sudden, the lift. How many hundreds of times have I heard people say, there was a time I felt burdened. I had all kinds of heaviness on my heart. I didn't know, and I heard the gospel, and I walked down the aisle of the church and knelt down, and someone dealt with me, and I asked Christ in my heart, and I left that place, lifted the burden. I've had people say, I felt like I was going to float out the building. I understand that. You say, that's kind of elaborate explanation. But babe, when you have sin forgiven and lifted off of you, you've got a burden off of you. And I'm glad God imputes that sin to his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It may be that you have tried everything that you know to try, and the person is no better. It might be someone listened this morning already in a few minutes. They tried everything that they had to try, but nothing gets any better. I've got good news right now. Jesus is passing by here. He's just as real here spiritually as he was physically in that day. In fact, he's realer, if there's such a word, than that, because he lives in us. You know, Christ could live with us. He could live around us. But as he had human in flesh like you and I, he could not live in us. His word could, but he couldn't. But isn't it amazing? Not only can God use his word in us by his spirit who wrote this book and lives in us, and he gives us a down payment for our salvation, but the Holy Spirit lives in us as much as working among us in this life. So there is no horror that Jesus cannot fix in this day. The horror of this woman, really, if you look at it and imagine how it would be, some pain you've had, and then think she had this for 12 years. Number two, I want you to note the hope that she embraced when in verse 27 through 28. There's no doubt she had heard about Jesus having power in ways she never heard before. She did not want him to touch her. She didn't come and say, if you lay your hand on me. She didn't say, hey, I just tap in and say, would you touch me? She wasn't looking for that. She wanted to touch him. Isn't that amazing? Amen. If I can just touch him, he's who he says he is. And if I can just touch him, I believe this thing will be gone. And here she goes. And she knew that she had to get to him. For Jesus was her only hope. She tried everything else, and now she's going to touch him. If she could only get to him, she would be healed. She was desperate, and the risk was worth taking. That last effort that would get her out of this mess, or she'd go into eternity with it. Then number three, I want you to note the healing she experienced. This is what blesses my heart. This was powerful, and it was personal. Hey, according to the disciples, there's many others that were thronging in him. That means that many others were bumping him. And as he went, no doubt, the crowd split and they kept bumping him. It wasn't that as a group following, though the apostles were, and some were trying to follow him. But as they were going in the crowd, they kept thronging him. There's no telling how many thousands while he was walking through where he would walk, thronging him. But this one got the healing because she... The faith calls her to react or act to do something that showed her heart was right. She was looking for an answer. The word touch means to cling to some, but it also means to adhere to whatever it is. When she touched him, she didn't let go right then. But then suddenly, she did. She felt the healing took place. She knew it had taken place. Someone said, well, how she knew it? You go 12 years of issue of blood and let God touch you and you'll find out. There's no way you can explain unless you've been there. But the Bible says immediately she was touched and she was healed. Instant she felt the change in her body healing. Jesus said, who touched me? And in that day, and many touched him on that day. But only one touched him with the finger of faith. And the apostles even said, well, Lord, there's a lot of folks touching you. But there's one that touched me different at this time. It's not that I had to touch you. Them or who it is, but he touched me. And here the great physician does not touch the patient. The great physician does not prescribe any medicine. The great physician does not diagnose anything about her, yet his patient is cured of her disease because she touched him. I want to tell you something. There's no one else got power in this earth like that. No religious leader. You can name anyone you want to that's leading a group of people around religious all over this world. There's no one else that's ever been on this earth has that kind of power themselves. Many can have power with God and pray, and God does things at times according to his divine will. But he had the power. Isn't it amazing? She had such a desire that she touched him, she was going to go home free and true, and his patient is cured. She fell down before Jesus, afraid of being rejected. But I want you to notice something, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus was not interested in preaching her a sermon on uncleanness from the law. He's not interested, hey, by law, you shouldn't have touched me. I mean, by right, you're unclean. No one should be, you shouldn't even be in the crowd by law under these circumstances. As a matter of fact, Jesus was only interested in helping her with her problem. And notice when she actually felt the relief of this problem. Jesus did not refer to as a woman like it did to start with. He referred to as his daughter. He calls her daughter now. Her faith has made her whole, Mark 5:34. Jesus said, thy faith has made thee whole. Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. A lot of transaction went through that just more so than seeing this physical touch. Isn't it amazing? This world can't see what happens in our heart when we get saved, but we can feel it. We can know it because God gives us, he's a God of words. And thank God he sent words in our language that we can understand. And he comes in our heart And the Holy Spirit he gives us begin to bear witness that we are children of God, and the world can't understand that. They don't have it. They don't understand spiritual relationship with God. And God is a spirit, and we must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so here, his words to her confirmed that what she already knew had happened. The word whole is the same type of word that's translated save in other places, which means to be rescued from all harm and danger, to be kept safe, and also to be kept sound. Jesus tells her to go in peace. He says to her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. I'm going to tell you something. When Jesus says that, you can have peace. When the world says it, may not be no peace. But I love what I see. This was words of compassion and completion. She had received a brand new, hear me, she had received a brand new life from her hand to the Savior. It was the fact that Christ was not reaching for her, he was reaching for him, and from her hand and touching the Savior, immediately she was healed. Some of these divine healers today ought to read some things about Scripture and healing, don't they? Some of them pray and pray and they never get healed, and then they claim they had a problem. They talk not to people they're healing. But isn't it amazing? Here's a case where this woman believed and God knew her heart. And when he didn't touch her. He didn't lay his hands on her. He didn't pop her on the head. He just felt the touch. Amen. He didn't touch her and say, get her up and let me do it again. No, sir. Brother, I'll tell you this. I'm glad God is greater to our hearts than some people. And when he does something, he only has to do it once. Amen. He only has to do it once. I love what he's doing. These words are compassion. She had a brand new life from the hand to the Savior. She touched the hem of his garment, and Jesus not only healed her physically, but he touched her soul and gave her a new heart, a new life, a new identity, a new person. She's healed physically, but when she goes to tell about being healed physically, she's also going to tell about how something took place beyond the physical life. The woman nor the child of God in Jesus Christ are ashamed to say to this world, I once was lost in sin, but now I've been delivered by the grace of God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus had saved my soul and changed my life. If a person's ashamed to witness that to this world, they're just not saved. You think God's going to save us and give us eternal life to head to heaven and not give us the backbone to tell someone else that we're saved? Grant you, we need to understand, we need to study some about the situation so we can at least give a good biblical answer, but then if something comes back we can't explain, don't try to explain it, go back to the Bible, find it, and next time you go across that, you'll be able to explain it to the individual. And by the way, Satan's got his people out there just to try to trick us. They'll ask you some off-the-wall question just to get you off the subject. If you've ever been soul any much, you know what I'm talking about. And so here, the Lord Jesus saved their soul. In Psalm 107, verse 2, God says in the Bible, the Redeemer of the Lord, say, let the Redeemer of the Lord say so, whom hath redeemed him, or who has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Romans 10, 11 said, for the Scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So our world is filled with people like this sick woman. Some may be like the physical sickness. But all are born this way with a spiritual sickness. All needs the touch of God. By the way, you'll never get to heaven without it. And it's called the new birth. And Jesus himself in John 3 told us that in John 3, verse 5. And here we find, today many have physical afflictions. But their real disease is the disease of the soul and the heart. We may have good health at times, but all of us got some kind of physical affliction. It will come sooner or later. But if we feel good and don't think we got anything wrong physically, a man's not saved is dead spiritually. They need life. And I don't care what this religious world says, it's only through the Holy Spirit by this word. By the way, we can't even use our own words made up for our own mind. We can use these words that God said. Here's where the power. I can say, oh, I want to. Out of the Bible, it has no power whatsoever. But if I quote and read these scriptures, there's power behind it because it's the word of God. He said, my word not returning to me void. And so I see here there's a bigger problem in this life than just physical situation. There's a problem of the soul and the heart. And we must deal on the, we must not deal on the physically only. We pray for a lot of folks here. Our prayer list is loaded every Wednesday night. You see that. But ladies and gentlemen, we pray for them. But we also have a section of prayer where we pray for souls only. Amen? We have a section that people have got. We pray for souls. The others are physical conditions. But we do have that place. Because the most important problem that man has is he's a lost human being due to his forefather and mother, Adam and Eve. Just Jesus can heal the problem in your soul, and he'll give you a new life in him. What is that new life? It's a new heart. It's a new nature. It's a new identity. It's a new life, and it's also one day a new name, according to the book of Revelation. Nothing when we get there will be identified with the old life that we had here. I don't know where people are on their journey. I know where I was at, sitting in a church pew one time, lost as could be. But I know this, he'll give you a new life in him. I know this, that the path of God's grace brings us to the crossroads of God's word. You and I have been saved, either we're somewhere or another, went by something or went to church or somewhere or another, somebody came by our door, and at that moment we had a crossroads of our life. And God said, if you let me come in, isn't that an amazing thing? As powerful as God is, he'll never burglarize our will. But he say, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll make you a new creature in Christ Jesus if you accept my son. He said three times at least, hear ye him. God from heaven said, hear ye him, speaking of his son, when Jesus was here on this earth. And I know this, that the path of God's grace brings us, crosses us sooner or later in our life. If a person is lost and desire to be saved at all, or look towards heaven as Cornelius did, and they wonder who this God is, God will bring someone across his path to hear the gospel, because that's the only way they'd be saved. He's not wishing that any should perish. He'll move mountains and get people. He'll give people to sacrifice their life and everything they had to get somewhere or another to give them the gospel, because they realize in Christ we have everything that money, and that's everything that money can buy, and that's his eternal life. And when I look at this journey, I tell you again, as I plead here today, and those who listen to you stream, those maybe listen to radio in a little bit, I plead with you to do what this woman did and let nothing hinder you from coming to Jesus Christ for your soul salvation. Not only is he a healer for the physical, but that still means if he'd heal you 20 times and you die without Christ, there'd be no healing of what happens in hell. The only thing that can keep us out of hell. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, there is a hell, whether this world believes it or not. The Bible declares it. Jesus talked about it. And there's a place where he made for the devil and his angels. And when it came down for Adam and Eve and those descendants after him, outside of Jesus Christ or the appropriate sacrifice, that's the destiny where they're headed to. And so here, we will not let nothing hinder us from coming to Christ for our soul salvation right now. This latest act of faith made her whole. That's what Jesus said. You say, but wait a minute, Christ gave the power. But if I understand, folks, listen to me, if she had not made an effort to touch him, she'd have still left there not whole. If I can just touch him, I don't want to get in front of him and let him, they don't have to take a top off of a building like it did one person that was and bring Lang and lay him down in front of him because they can't get to him in the house. But she said, if I could just touch his garment. And by the way, I believe when she said to him, I believe that she had to be down to get to it. I don't think she'd get to it, it's thrown up here. But she had to get down somehow or another. And that's my just thinking, and had to do what she had to do to touch. It wasn't simple for her to just walk up there and do it. There was some effort put to it. There was some deciding. There was some planning. There was some way. How can I get to her? I imagine when she got there, she must have been a long ways off. And she had to make her way to where Christ was moving at that time. And so I plead with you to do what this woman did. Let nothing hinder you from coming to Jesus Christ for your soul salvation. Her act made her whole physically and spiritually. Mark 5, verse 34. She went from a woman that touched Jesus Christ. Hear me. She went from a woman with 12 years of an issue of blood that touched Jesus Christ, to, hear me, to a daughter of God made whole through faith in Jesus Christ. What does that mean, preacher? Last thought. That means simply, September 27, 1959, you give your date when you trust Christ as Savior. You are a child headed to hell, abandoned from God. Jesus even said Satan is our father. You left that situation and became a child of God, born into the family of God through what Jesus called the new birth. What an amazing thing that took place when we received Christ as Savior. And because of that, we were made whole through faith in Jesus Christ. And isn't an amazing thing that faith, such as things hoped for, everything's not seen, opens the door into a spiritual world this ungodly world cannot see. All they see is here, and everything about spirits has to do with globbies and goobies and everything else. But God has opened a door for us to stick our head through spiritual life, in spiritual life, into that door to see a spiritual world that God lives in. And this Bible tells us all about He and what He did before and after, and gives us little insights along the way, and helps us from Genesis to Revelation to put it together, see the wonderful picture, not only what God's doing on this earth, but at the same time what happens in that arena of the world. There's a spiritual world that's a dominion way beyond the dominion of this physical world. And the day you and I trust Christ as Savior, all of that opened up to us. Really and truly, when we trust Christ as Savior, He touched us, didn't He? He touched us, and He made us new. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, some of us may not be alive today if we hadn't got saved. Aren't you glad He touched you? My Heavenly Father, thank You for preserving this for us to send this dear lady. Sometimes I read these and I say, Lord, when I get to heaven one day, I sure want to meet her. There's a lot of biblical characters I want to meet. And I know we'll be able to. We have eternity to enjoy it. And Lord, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if somehow or another, there's some things You give us a little bit about that in heaven You can show the complete picture. We got ways of telling things in this life that blows people's mind. I mean, I live in a time that amazes me that you could have a picture in a little box and see it from all over this world. Boy, if we can do that in the last 100 years, maybe less than that, God has some things that this physical mind would blow to pieces to see it. It's beyond this life. And there may be some things, I don't know, I can hypothetical think this, that I can't see now, that when I get to heaven, I'll see a story that will bless me more so than ever what I can see in this life. I know that it's the greatest blessing of all. It's for a person to say one time before God under the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, when He says, believe on His name and thou shalt be saved. Thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in the heart that God has raised Him, He said, from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Lord, we believe that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And we thank You so much in these days for little pictures hid away. Lord, You didn't give us this story just to fill a book up. You gave us this story to see Jesus busy. Here He is, thronged, touching Him, doing much. And then here's a man's daughter, born of death, Jairus, one of the rulers. And He didn't have to go with him. Lord, it's known fact. He could spoke where he was at, and it happened. But Lord, He went with him, started with him. And here's this woman trying to get to Him just to touch Him. One is going with Him to lay His hands on the daughter to be raised from the dead or heal the sick. And found out later that she died. Then things no use to go, but He still went. Because this same Jesus has power to raise the dead as much as heal the sick. And we thank You for that. Help someone to see the day, if they will honestly approach God with an eager heart to know who He is and listen to Him as they read this precious book, the Holy Spirit of God that's sent on the day of Pentecost will come and bring a realization to that person's heart that if they only believe the record that God gave of His Son, that's the death, burial, and resurrection, God will save their soul. He says, not wishing any should perish. And an amazing thing that God would bring Himself to a point and not wish any should perish, but give the remedy and say, you must respond to that to be saved. Father, help today to exalt Your Son, whom You said You're well pleased. Holy Spirit, help today to present him as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And maybe you look at this lady, the show. She said, if I just touch his garment, I'll be healed. If we'll just believe the word of God, what he says about his son, God will reach down the lowest place on this earth, save a soul and lift them out the most mire of sin, and set them on the rock where in turn they'll be safe and sound until God gets us home. Holy Spirit, may you be able to use my words today that you have penned and I've read, and now that which I've tried to explain, this event, for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.